Welcome to God and Country Radio, weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Today's program, I'd like to discuss New Jersey Assembly Bill 3446, the Right to Read Bill. It's a piece of legislation put forth by the American Library Association to defend the inclusion of explicit sexual LGBTQ material in public libraries and public school libraries. This same bill being pushed in New Jersey just passed in Maryland. It's all coming from the American Library Association. And now notice the title, The Right to Read. The justification for the dissemination of immorality is that it's a right. And here again, we see the new foundation for morals in America, a foundation that unbelievers have bought into, that freedom of conscience and individual moral autonomy are considered to be the chief moral values. So that what is moral and just is that which gives you the personal right to do what you want to do or be what you want to be. Individual autonomy and human rights have been the tool to justify evil. And those who oppose explicit materials in libraries are successfully being depicted as book banners. Because the greatest evil is to deny people their right to moral autonomy. So the left is saying no book should be banned. But of course, this means no LGBTQ book, because they would ban in an instant any book stating that marriage is between one man and one woman, that there are only two genders, or that people need to submit to their God-given gender given to them at birth. Their freedom ideology seems to only go in one direction, because there's a bias toward evil. All this is happening because morality is no longer based on the law of nature, nature's God. It's all about human desire. So therefore, the people in favor of sexually explicit LGBTQ material in public schools consider themselves good because they affirm man, and those who oppose are evil because they oppose the desires of humanity. As early Christians were called haters of the human race. Now, one of the reasons the American Library Association is pushing states to pass some form of the Freedom to Read bill is they know they have a legal problem in putting these books into libraries. States have obscenity laws. You can be prosecuted for exposing children to sexually explicit material. There are even federal laws that are clear concerning the crime of giving children pornographic material. So within the wording of this bill is an exception for librarians, giving them immunity from prosecution. So librarians can disseminate sexually explicit material to children because allegedly it has an educational purpose. Out of the 50 states, 39 have already amended their obscenity laws to allow for explicit LGBTQ materials in public schools. There are 11 states that have not. Believe it or not, New Jersey has not amended its law yet. So this is why the bill is being pushed in the state. Now this New Jersey bill, A3446, has been rewritten from its original draft so that our state obscenity laws will not be changed. But nevertheless, the bill still exempts librarians from prosecution. Quote from the summation of the new version of this bill, school librarians, staff members, and any staff member of a public library shall be immune from civil and criminal liability for good faith actions performed pursuant to the provisions of this bill. This substitute bill no longer includes amendments to the obscenity statutes, providing for an affirmative defense. Also, in addition to protecting librarians defensively, the bill also describes parental objections as harassment. This allows leftist librarians and school administrators to be able to go on a legal offensive against parents who object. Already, several parents have been sued by high school librarians for harassment. The librarian's strategy is to go on the offensive, since these librarians fear of being sued and prosecuted for disseminating sexually explicit material to children. One parent in New Jersey took some of the school library material to her local chief of police, and the officer clearly affirmed that this material violates obscenity laws and needs to be prosecuted. She then took the material and the chief of police statement to her local state attorney, but he was a Democrat, so he wouldn't charge the librarians. Well, then the librarian turned around and sued this parent, claiming that the parent was misrepresenting her, that this librarian was providing this material not for the sake of pleasure, but in good faith for diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, who then decides what books belong in school libraries? Who writes the standards? Well, the bill states that school districts can create committees to recommend books that should be removed. However, policies will be created by the New Jersey Commissioner of Education in consultation with the Library Association. Since the public can't agree, the state believes it needs to step in and determine acceptable morals. Parents no longer have the final say in what is morally taught in public schools. And these library associations all lean toward leftist LGBTQ support, because these library administrators are all coming out of secular state universities that teach a humanistic basis for morality. The leaders of our culture have turned away from God. Rather than talking about the bill itself, let's discuss the lies that underpin the bill. The justifications, the deceptions that are getting people to buy into having sexually explicit materials in public school. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes. The picture there, and the truth, is that with every sin, there's a lie to justify it. So iniquity is pulled along with a falsehood or lie. This is what Alexander Solzhenitsyn explained in his Gulag Archipelago about the Soviet prison system for political dissenters. Solzhenitsyn writes, "Ideology gives evil doing its long-sought justification and gives the evil doer the necessary steadfastness and determination. Without the evildoers and their ideology, there would have been no archipelago, Soviet gulag." The ideologues he's referring to are the false teachers of Marxism. The philosophy of Marxism used high-sounding reasoning to connect the free market capitalists to oppression and injustice, and therefore, these people who believe in biblical private property rights were depicted as the cause of all ills in society. So, of course, they must be sent off to prison. Solzhenitsyn's point is that without this false teaching, the public would not have so easily embraced Marxism and persecuted anti-Marxists. It takes false teachers not to create the sin, because the sin of greed and envy is already there, but to give it further justification. Once sin is justified through false reasoning, it suppresses the conscience so that one can do evil to such an extent that one thinks one is actually doing good. Once evil practices are thought of as good and righteous, then evil practices will proliferate. But again, it takes false teaching to redefine evil as good and good as evil, and hence the suppression of the conscience. Now, we see this in Islam, false teaching that allows for sexual immorality. The promise of many virgins in heaven justifies polygamy, and the raping of women who are non-Muslims because jihad justifies punishing those who are considered unbelievers. The atrocities under ISIS were instigated by false teaching. Now, the lust and the violence is already in the human heart. The false teaching inflames it. False teachers and those who embrace false teachers therefore commit the greater evil, because it's a greater stage in human depravity. All people struggle with their lust, their envy, their bitterness. but they'll at least feel a pang of conscience over it. But once a sinner creates a false ideology to reimagine evil as good, to suppress the conscience, and to give themselves feelings of self-righteousness in their sin, as if they're social justice warriors coming to the aid of the oppressed, then there's a huge breakout of evil in the nation. False teachers justify sin. The false teachers of Marxism, the false teachers of Islam, the false teachers of the Nicolaitans and the Gnostics, Revelation chapter 2, verse 15. And this is why there's a greater condemnation upon false teachers, the ideologues pushing the evil. Now, by the way, we hear many who say the problem is with being an ideologue. As if the problem in society occurs when people get strong metaphysical beliefs. But no, Christians are ideologues. We hold to ideology. We hold to the truth. The problem is not ideology. The problem is evil ideology. Ideology that justifies sin. And this is just another deceptive false teaching of the false teachers. Because of their belief in moral relativism, they believe the problem is simply believing something strongly. So, according to the prophet Isaiah, sinners will drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood. Ideology gives evil doing its long sought after justification. And what's interesting is that two verses later in Isaiah 5:20, we have the premier verse describing our current cultural immorality. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute light for darkness and darkness for light, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So the falsehood that is dragging iniquity is calling evil good and good evil. That's the falsehood justifying sin. And that verse describes America and the world today. The immorality of LGBTQ is being called good. It's being defined as affirmation, freedom, equality, self-determination. So why not have the good LGBTQ ideology taught in public schools? And the good, which opposes sexual immorality, is being called evil. Christian morality is now said to oppress people. Christian morality is now called oppression. Let me throw an example here. On April 30th, Biden's Department of Health and Human Services enacted the Safe and Appropriate Foster Care Placement Requirement. This requires child welfare agencies to place foster children only with families who have committed to establishing an environment that supports a child's LGBTQI+ status or identity. Foster parents have to pass an LGBTQI affirmation test. And this is not just for parents who are fostering children who are questioning their gender, but for the foster parents of all children being fostered. Because those fostered children may someday question their gender, and the foster parents need to affirm their gender rebellion. Quote, under the new rules, foster care providers must use the child's identified pronouns and chosen name and allow the child to dress in a way that reflects their self-identified gender identity and expression. Foster parents are required to establish an environment that supports a child's LGBTQI status or identity. And we know that just 20 years ago, LGBTQ+ affirming parents were disqualified from being foster parents. Why is all this happening? Because good is being called evil and evil is being called good. Because the ideology of gender choice is being considered righteousness. Because, as I've said many times before, humanists base what is moral not upon God's law, the law of nature, nature's God, but upon human desire. So therefore, if people want to be transgender, they must be righteous. Because what people want is the basis for morality. Hence, evil is called good and good is called evil. And the ideology drags iniquity along with the cords of falsehood. All of this is also behind the Freedom to Read bill. Now let's discuss some more about the ideological justifications, the falsehoods behind the Freedom to Read bill. It's important to understand how ungodly people are now justifying everything. Don't be deceived by the way values are being twisted and how people are exalting personal freedom above the law of God, because this is the way it's always been. This has always been the excuse of the ungodly. But here's the language. There must be sexually explicit LGBTQ material in public schools because of rights. Minority rights. Even if you claim that the majority of parents object to explicit sexual material in public schools, if some parents want it for their children, the state has to allow it to protect minority rights. This is what happens when the state has no moral compass except the will of the people. Civil rights are used to justify every depravity. Second, this bill is being justified on the basis of freedom of religion, freedom of speech. If transgenderism is their religion, then they should have the freedom to practice their religion and have the free speech to espouse their views. This is what happens when there's no belief in moral absolutes. And when a nation is no longer Christian, freedom of religion becomes a license for everything, even the worship of Satan. A third justification is the word consent. It's okay as long as the child consents. And today, consent is used to justify just about everything. Since teens can give consent to abortion, and teens can give consent to puberty blockers and consent to change their gender, it follows that they can certainly give consent to sexually explicit material. All there needs to be is consent. Because what is right is determined by what a teenager wants. And like sexual transitioning is considered gender-affirming care, it's called care, but it's really cloaking mutilation, sterilization, and castration. Sexually explicit LGBTQ materials in public schools is considered psychological care. And to limit sexual expression is to not care, to be cruel. To be a good person, you must affirm people's sexual preferences and gender feelings. John Davison, in his book, Pagan America, the book that I was reviewing for the last 2 weeks, has a whole chapter describing how consent has become the moral justification for depravity. Quote, in the context of the trans debate, this misapplication of consent always occurs alongside of insistence of the rights and the bodily autonomy of children. Boys have a right to be girls, and girls should have the right to be boys. They also have a right to be exposed to sexually explicit materials at school, to learn about homosexuality and transgender sex, alternative pronouns, to learn how kids can become transgender. Likewise, they have a right to be exposed to adults in sexually explicit contexts, whether at a drag queen story hour hosted by a local library, attending a gay pride parade, and drag shows featuring sexualized dance routines performed by adult men, all under the banner of inclusion and tolerance. This creed of individual autonomy and subjective morality is the logical endpoint of the post-Christian, post-reason worldview in pagan America. It is a worldview in which there can be no valid objections, even to something as perverse and monstrous as the castration and mutilation of children. Unquote. And we can add to that, individual autonomy and subjective morality is even being used to justify children reading pornography. So this is where the godless view of moral relativism leads. The library book issue is just one fruit of this whole transgender ideology, justifying minors having sex changes, men and women sports, the changing of pronouns in the English language, the removal of the term mother and father and son and daughter, boys and girls. And biblically, this is calling good evil and evil good. And one more word from the prophet explains what's going on. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 22. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. In other words, they believe everything is morally equivalent because they don't want to believe in sin and judgment. Like Cain, they want to believe their actions are just as valid as Abel's. Now, I've mentioned this before, but C.S. Lewis in the 1950s saw this coming. In Lewis's book that most people don't read, The Pilgrim's Regress, which is an allegory of his own conversion experience, C.S. Lewis has the main character captured and put into a dungeon by a giant called the Spirit of This Age. And the only way he's able to escape the grasp of the giant is by exposing the lie that he was being fed. He says to the one guarding the prison, quote, "You are trying to pretend that unlike things are alike. You're trying to make us think that milk is the same sort of thing as sweat or dung. Are you a liar or only a fool that you see no difference between that which nature casts out as refuse and that which she stores up for food?" So the moral lesson, the ungodly left, the spirit of this age, is trying to make a moral equivalency between transgenderism and God's establishment of gender, a moral equivalency between homosexuality and God's plan for marriage. And that is why the people have fallen into darkness and have begun to justify the unthinkable as if it's normal. I had a Christian friend of mine who testified against the Freedom to Read bill ask me, "What are we to say to these reprobates? They don't listen. What are we to say to these people who think that they're being righteous and they're perversions?" Well, the arguments conservatives make aren't getting any traction. If conservatives argue for the rights of parents, the supporters of the bill argue for the rights of transgender parents. If conservatives argue that students shouldn't be exposed to this material, the supporters of the bill argue it's their own personal choice. At a New Jersey hearing on this matter, a New Jersey librarian who is a leader in the state's library association, when asked to define pornography, she said there's no such thing as pornography, which shows what we're up against. These people are complete materialists and believe all sexual behavior is natural and shouldn't be concealed in any way, that these books are simply pictures and stories of people doing what they do naturally. The supporters of explicit sexual material in public schools are ideologically amoral. And all arguments conservatives make for human rights and freedom are arguments that only support the foundation of leftism itself. So the only way to address this issue is to explain that what they're proposing is morally evil in the sight of God. The only way to break free from the spirit of this age is to return to a belief that there are moral absolutes given to us by God. There is the clean and the unclean. Transgenderism and homosexuality is morally wrong. Now, it doesn't matter if they reject it, claiming that this is not possible in a pluralistic republic. We still proclaim the truth. Now, this bill, A-3446, the Freedom to Read bill, passed the New Jersey State Assembly and will likely be passed by the Senate and signed into law. This is the spirit of the age, but be confident that the lie will soon collapse. In the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, "One word of truth shall outweigh the whole world." You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs or to get the links to the extended YouTube and Rumble version of this program is at godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth, and may Jesus Christ reign.